You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Hallelujah. So Proverbs 24 verse 3 is a scripture that I love. It says, "By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." So most people, when they get married, they think, oh, I'm getting this wonderful package that's full of great things. Amen? And they want the person that they are married to, or the friends or the relationships around them, to fill them. But the way that it actually works is that the day you get married, you actually get an empty house. And the two of you decide with what you want to fill the rooms. Amen? To fill it with precious and beautiful and kind and lovely things. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to start by laying that foundation. So when we talk about a house, what does a house have? A house has got boundary walls. It's got rooms. Amen? So when you talk about a house, you are talking about boundaries. Turn to the person next to you and say, boundaries.
Boundaries.
And actually, the first problem that occurred in the garden was because a boundary was not honored. Do you want to say something about that?
Yes. In the garden, when Adam and Eve were at the tree, God had given them one instruction. He said, do not eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil.
That's right.
One boundary. One boundary. And that boundary was stepped over when Eve decided it's time to not honor this boundary, because maybe God is keeping something back from me by not telling me to eat from this one tree.
Amen. Let me read it. Genesis 3 verse 8. Now they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate it. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate.
Amen. Amen.
Well, can you see here, when this simple boundary was broken, not honored, that from that day, the blame game started? Turn to the person next to you and ask them, have you ever played in the blame game?
Have you ever played in the blame game?
No.
Not us. Amen.
No. We've all played in the blame game. Amen. So God drew a boundary around the tree, and he said, don't eat of this. And the enemy came, deceived Eve. Adam sinned. They broke the boundary, and that's where the problem started. So everything that God has created, everything he put in motion, these boundaries, when he created day and night, he said, let there be light, let there be darkness. These boundaries everywhere. Amen. Water and land, it's a boundary. In Genesis, he says, from the beginning, seed time and harvest, winter and summer, day and night. So one thing that we can know is that there is boundaries. Amen. Young people, let me hear you say boundaries. Boundaries. Say it again, boundaries. And if you don't honor boundaries and you break the boundaries, there's always consequences. Amen. Always consequences.
I really think in our society today, even with young people, boundaries has become a very bad word to speak about. We think boundaries is something that will limit us, that will keep us back, that will not let us fulfill our purpose. But I want to tell you this morning, a good boundary in place is actually the most safe place to be. Amen.
So even in our relationship, there's boundaries. And if we don't honor the boundaries, it has an effect on our relationship. The fact that God's presence manifested here today during worship, were you aware of God's presence?
Amen.
Because of boundaries. Because of boundaries. When you fear God, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. To fear the Lord is to hate sin. Amen. So you have to honor God's rules and God's way of doing things. Amen.
Amen. One of the boundaries in our congregation is that this place will only be used for God's presence.
Amen. Amen.
So when you walk in this door, no matter what came our way, our boundary with this church was that this auditorium belongs to Jesus, that we'll treat this auditorium as if it's the temple of the Lord.
So you have to ask yourself, if I don't honor the boundaries, if I don't take responsibility of the boundaries, how will that affect my life? Because we have to take responsibilities for our own lives. Amen. So in any successful relationship, there's boundaries. Amen. Another word for boundary can be self-control. Mm-hmm. Turn to the person next to you, say a little bit of self-control. The good thing is self-control is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So when you are born again and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, He will help you and He will lead you and He will guide you. Proverbs 25 verse 28 says, like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. So if you want to expose yourself to be vulnerable, just say and do what you want to. Say Aina or amen.
Amen.
You know, in the society that we live today, we can go onto social media and just say what we want to. But you are actually confessing your own weakness when you just say what you want to, that you don't have self-control. And we as Christians, we need to have self-control. Amen.
I think the real question is, what can I control and what can I not control? And
that's
when
right.
And when it comes to relationships, what may I control and what may I not control? Because we need to maybe implement this in boundaries in relationships.
Amen. So if you don't apply the boundaries, there's going to be consequences. Turn to the person next to you, say, you have freedom.
You have freedom.
You have choice.
You have choice.
But there's always consequences.
But there's always consequences.
So what you sow is what you're going to reap. So we have to understand that. So when we control the boundaries, we take control of our lives. A matter of fact, one of the promises that's given to Abraham is that he will control or possess the gates of his enemies. Possess the gates of your enemies. So you say, where's the boundaries? What is a yes and what is a no? Is that okay? Can we quickly talk about boundaries with children? Mm-hmm. Parents, would you like a little bit about that? We actually didn't plan this. We just included this a little bit extra when it comes to that. So let me just say, when it comes to boundaries, there are direct things that you can control. Then there's indirect things that you can influence. And then there are things that you have no control over. So when it comes to your children, from the age when they are born to at about 12, you are directly in control. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
They don't, you are in control. You have the responsibility to protect them, to look after them, to care for them, and you have to take direct responsibility. From the age of 13, when they start going to high school, the teenage years, they become adults, until about 2021, indirect control. So you have to let go. Cannot be the helicopter parent. Amen?
Amen.
You have to start to let go. Turn to the person next to you, say, you're going to have to let go.
And I think that letting go is within boundaries.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Our children in our home, they were born into our family, so they became a part of our family. They did not come into our family as the new parents. Do you
amen,
understand
amen,
what
amen.
I'm saying? Amen. So our children came into our family and became a part of our family. So they didn't come in as parents. That means as we grew up with them, the direct, indirect, and no control became less and less and less as we could see the consequence and the freedom come through that we're going to speak about now. And you know what? Children, this is not a threat. This is not us being funny or ugly. But you know what? There's a real enemy on the other side of that phone, which you are not big enough to handle. Amen. You think you're big enough. Children think they're big enough, especially when you get to tweeny age. You think you are big enough to handle what comes through that screen. You need your parents to handle what comes through that screen because the enemy is planting seeds on that thing. The enemy is planting thoughts on that thing. The enemy is coming for your soul through that thing. And we as parents cannot sit back and say, you are old enough at 12 to decide what comes into your heart from that device. Amen.
Yes. Especially if they have a cell phone and they are under the age of 12. Then you have to take direct control. Because they go on Instagram, they see somebody beautiful. You're so smart, you're so clever, you're the best thing in the whole world. And it's a devil talking to them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you have the responsibility to protect them when it comes to those kind of things.
Yes, we were made to raise godly offspring.
That's
that
right.
That means from the age of zero till the age of forever in eternity, we will have a part in raising a godly offspring. Amen? And that means we cannot back down from looking after our kids, from protecting our kids, and for standing in for our kids in the time when the enemy wants to come for them. Because I promise you, the enemy will not stop coming for our kids when they are 12 or 13 or 14 or 15 or 16 or 17. Because unfortunately, our children also remind him of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they are his. Amen? And us as parents have to step in and say, you know what? Give me your phone every now and again. Let me look what you're looking at. Is this your real Instagram or is this your fake Instagram you're trying to portray for mommy? Because we all know sometimes our children think we're not so bright, but we are pretty bright sometimes. And we know that that little Instagram handle with that name that looks like their name is maybe what we sing, but they maybe have like a little bit of another name that they've made themselves that the world is seeing. And it's two different lives. And we as parents have to discern what is coming to our children because we are always responsible for their spiritual life and their salvation. Amen? We are called to raise godly offspring. And if the devil comes against our children, my goodness, we will paint a blood of Jesus Christ over the doors of our hearts and over the doors of our families and over the doors of our homes, and we will say, Satan, not on my watch. Amen.
The end goal for us as parents to get to a place where you can release them into the world, not have control, they're getting married to a godly spouse, then they can come and still ask for advice. But we're not going to force it on you. I need some parents to say amen. You know, planning a wedding, it's quite interesting. You know, you hear some parents, they'll tell the couple, it's maybe it's your marriage, but it's our wedding. And I say, parents, it doesn't work like that, okay? It's their day, let them do their thing the way that they want to. But it needs to get to a place where you know that you've built enough into them that you can release them. And they can go make godly decisions. And if they want to come to you, they can say, help us. What is the right boundary? What would you do here? Don't go and force it on them. But if they ask, then you can share that.
I think if you can't do it at 2, you're not going to do it at 20. Your parenting starts from the day that little thing is born. Amen. And you, from that day, mission is to raise godly offspring. And everything that you do, can I tell parents the 3 magic words in raising a child? We haven't done everything right, but by the grace of God, we've done something right. Okay. But 3 words that will help you raise your child: freedom, choice, consequence.
That's right.
Freedom, choice, consequence. At every stage, at every age, give them the appropriate freedom, give them appropriate choices, and give them the appropriate consequences. Yeah. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Amen. So bad choices, bad consequences, good choices, good consequences.
Amen.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. And listen to me, if you cannot control them at the age of 2 and 4 and set healthy boundaries and apply this, don't think you're going to suddenly start to put boundaries when they're 16. Then it's just going to be a fight. It's going to be a emotional explosion because you didn't apply the boundaries and the principles from a young age. Amen.
So I think with our kids, growth is the ability to handle a good choice.
That's right.
We're teaching our children to handle life and make good choices. Amen. Freedom, choice, consequence. Freedom, choice, consequence. When we raised our children as well, especially at the age of a teenager, we did not go into the way of the world. In the Word, we saw there were children and there were adults. We never saw a teenage phase in the Word where children were unruly, rebellious, and they didn't know what they're going to do, and they didn't know who they were, and they didn't know. In the Bible, you were a child or you were an adult. So with our children, we raised them in that way. We said, do you want us to treat you as a child or as an adult? And the freedom, choice, and consequences that we will do with you and apply to you will be where you want us to be there with you. So if you want us to work with you as a child, our freedom, choice, and consequence will be around that. If you want us to work with you as an adult, a young lady, this is after the age of 13, then we would say our freedom, choice, and consequences would be around handling you as a young woman, not a teenager that's confused about life. Amen. We don't have to go through that stage. We can teach them to hold on to Jesus and from a young child go into adulthood in the ways of the Lord.
Let me tell you something. The universe, your city, your home feels much safer when there's boundaries in place. Mm-hmm. But when there's no boundaries and everybody can just do what they want to, it's not a safe place. Amen.
Amen. So discipline with our kids is actually just teaching them self-control.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
It's simple. It's teaching them self-control. So.
Some of you are not very excited about that. I'd like. No. Teach them. Amen. Teach them the right things. So, I think we've said a lot about children. Maybe we should move on a little bit. Shall we come to the adult part here?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
The good part.
Can I have those hula hoops? Come up, bring the hula hoops quickly. I want to show you something. This is going to help you a lot. Amen. So the same. In your personal life, there are things that you can control directly, things that you can control indirectly, and things you have no control over. Amen. Let's do this. Yeah, do this. Okay. Okay. Stand behind us like this. Okay.
This is fun.
This is the circle around me, the circle in my life. And everything in my circle I have direct control over. There's another boundary. So this is a boundary in my life. You know, people sometimes talk about the bubble. Some people have no bubble. They come close to you like this. Other people. But this is the boundary in my life. And this is the way that I live my life, the norms, the rules, and those kind of things. In our marriage union, here's now another boundary around us. And in this boundary, there are certain things that I have to honor again. And if I don't, I have freedom to do what I want to. But if I don't honor the marriage boundaries through choices, then there's consequences when it comes to that. And in the same in my family, it's exactly the same. With my family again, there's a boundary, amen, where my children are involved as well. Do you want to say something about this?
Amen.
Feeling a bit claustrophobic here.
So within our hula hoops, I cannot say to him, you make me angry or you make me sad. What you are doing towards me is making me angry, what is making me sad. But my choices, what I'm doing in the circumstance is who I am today. Does it make sense?
So if I say, you make me angry, why? What am I doing? I'm not taking responsibility. I'm handing over my authority and power to her. Let's take anger. Who of you have got anger issues?
Just double blink.
Just double blink. Just double blink. Anger is a secondary emotion. Right now, I'm not angry. Something makes me angry. Maybe an unfulfilled expectation from my wife. But the Bible says, be angry and do not sin. So, number one, I have to take responsibility. So, here's the order. Responsibility, authority, power. So, as the husband, I've got authority and I've got power. But before that, the order is responsibility. My emotions is my own responsibility. Turn to the person and actually say, your emotions.
Your emotions.
Your heart.
Your heart.
Is your own responsibility.
It's your own responsibility.
So, let's just say now. Say I'm a hothead. And the whole time when I'm a hothead, it's not because I'm a hothead. It's because everybody around me is making my hot head. My head hot. That's what happens with hotheads. So if I don't take responsibility, I will blame the whole time. But let me say my wife always makes me angry. I'm handing over my authority and power to her to control me now. Whether that's in a relationship with your spouse, whether it's a colleague at work, whether it's somebody at school, whether it's somebody you study with, whether it's a sibling or a family member. you have a boundary here. And the Bible says, above all, guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. So my anger, is it my wife's problem or my problem? Is it my wife's responsibility or my responsibility? It's my responsibility. Why is it so quiet now? Am I touching a sensitive topic?
I think we're touching something.
Say something nice, my wife, please.
I think within the relationship as well, what as a lady, sometimes we want our husbands to react like a girl. Amen? We want him to be our girlfriend.
To think like a girl.
To think like a girl and to react like a girl. But men are not wired like girls. Amen? It was the greatest revelation for me in my entire life, in 31 years of marriage, that my husband is not wired like me. Great revelation. Take it now. You don't have to wait 31 years. So when I speak to him and I say, sweetie, I'm having a bad day, my response would be, oh, my baby, I'm so sorry. Why are you having a bad... Who upset you? And he goes, what was the problem today? And how can I sort it out? Amen? Because men are problem solvers. And us women, we are emotional little bubbles of being. And we want the little bubble of being to come back. But we have to realize God made him the way he made him for a purpose. And he made us the way he made us for a purpose. So my overly emotional state sometimes needs a little bit of a boundary with saying, okay, let's get perspective here. But it's also great for him to say sometimes, okay, How can I make you feel better, sweetie?
So if she's having a bad day, I can tap her on the shoulder and say, what can I do to help you to feel better? Mm-hmm. But in the end of the day, it's her responsibility to make sure that her heart is okay and fine before God.
Amen.
Do you understand that?
Amen. I think another strong boundary that we have in our lives is we are watchmen on each other's walls for offense.
Yes.
The biggest place that we can snitch is with each other. And the biggest place our heart snitches is here, because this is actually my very best friend. Amen. In the whole world. So I would come to him and I'd say, oh, my mom is really irritating me. So I'm just using my mom as an illustration, because I don't want to use
anybody.
My mom is
She's
the sweetest thing.
Amen.
And he would not say to me, oh, my sweetie, that's okay. Your mom is really very difficult. He will say to me, I hear you, my sweetie, but let's apply God's word to this. God's word says that we need to let go, not have offense in our hearts. We need to make God's word the standard for our lives. So come, let's pray together for your mom, that your heart can feel better. And then go make up with her. Can I take you? And I'm like, no. And he's like, but I'm ready to take you. Let's go make up with your mom. So he forces me, or not forces me, he pushes me and he directs me in the way of the Lord. He doesn't cuddle my sin.
So if I can use this, it's very important as men, where we can directly influence and have control that we do. So what is a good example? Let me just say, coming to church. You make the decision to bring your whole family to church.
Amen.
Amen. You can say, this is the way that we do things, and you teach them those right things, directly saying these are the rules. If they don't want to go, you can influence them in an indirect way. Amen. But when it's here, you control it. Let me just say this. In situations that you cannot control, God is still in your circle. Amen?
Amen.
God is still in your circle to help you. So it's important to know that God is in your circle and that he is there to help you.
God is there on your best days and on your hard days. If the devil comes to tell you that you do not love your spouse anymore, you tell that devil to go. Because God is in your space. God is in your hula hoop. It's not up to something on the outside to decide who you are and where you are going. Remember, the first session my husband did was we decided we're making God's word the standard for our lives. So if we make God's word the standard for our lives, that is the standard. Amen. And anything contrary to that, I have been angry with him. He has been angry with me. But at the end of the day, I choose to soften my heart. He chooses to soften his heart, because we have made God's word the standard for our lives. And doesn't matter what we go through, we go back to that true north. God's word is the standard for our marriage.
All successful relationships have successful boundaries. So whether it's with friendships, whether it's in your marriage, there's always healthy boundaries. Can I just, I want to throw the scripture in. Proverbs 25 verse 17. Don't visit your neighbors too often or you will wear out your welcome. That's a boundary. He's saying, listen, if you're having a great time with a friend, don't visit him every day looking for a great time, because maybe you're just going to hit a bad day and then he says, okay, don't come back ever again. Amen?
Can I throw something in there?
Yes.
The person you are today is the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. Enough. In your marriage, in relationships with your children, if you're spending time with people telling you that your spouse is from the devil or telling you she's an irritation or he's an irritation, guess what those seeds are going to do eventually? They're going to start growing. You are the product. Who are the five people you're spending time with? Are they looking after your relationships that you value, or are they breaking them down?
You'll become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So be careful who you spend time with, because they will be saying things, declaring things. James 1 verse 26 says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. So you need to have boundaries when it comes to this. You cannot just say everything you feel. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You cannot say everything you think. You're also going to have trouble. Amen. Because sometimes you are thinking wrong. Sometimes you believe a lie and you're saying things and you can hurt people. Don't give people a piece of your mind. Give them a piece of your spirit. Or your heart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your spirit is your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Can I say this? Responsibility, authority, power. Ephesians 5. When it talks, we love, as men, we love to quote the submission scripture. The authority and power scripture. But what comes before authority and power? Responsibility. What is the responsibility that Christ has towards the church? The Bible says he loves her. He laid his life down for her. Cares for her. Intercedes for her. Prays for her. Helps her. So I can tell you, men, if you take responsibility in what you have to do, authority and power is not even on the table to discuss. Those things will just fall into place automatically.
Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. It is so. Yes. Can I tell you something? Certain things I do in my life, in my personal life, to see if I still have a servant's heart. Sometimes, you know, it's one thing. You hear the pastor says he makes coffee for his family, and I do it to just be a blessing to them. But I see sometimes if I, you know, sometimes you can make coffee with a bad attitude. Sometimes you can make food with a bad attitude. You know, you can throw the bit more chili in there just to. You have to check your heart that you've got that servant's heart. Amen.
And ladies, men actually just want respect. You know,
that's
when
right.
They love us, it's so easy to give respect. And even if they don't love us, we need to respect them. Amen. Because when we respect them as the head of the homes, God gives us the grace to be who we have to be. Amen. I want to bring out the best in my husband. My heart is to bring out the best in him. His heart is to bring out the best in me. If that heart isn't there, you need to come and talk. Because you've somewhere allowed offense in. You've somewhere allowed one of the five in your life to start poisoning something inside. Because what brought you to the altar in the first place?
Boundaries are the invisible property lines of our lives. So you cannot see it, but people know exactly what you are standing for. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's the basis of my identity. Need to have boundaries. I'm married to her. That simply means there's a boundary. I'm not interested in other women. It's not, I teach my children, I teach Jaden and my daughter. I said, I can see another woman and acknowledge that she's beautiful. I can see her, but I don't look at her. Gentlemen, listen to me. Because sometimes we get so religious that we say, I don't see anything. No, no, no. I need to hunch. No. Don't become religious, please, man. The Bible says don't be overly religious. When you see somebody, you can acknowledge, you look nice today. But you see it. You don't look. It's the looking that got David into trouble. When he saw Bathsheba there on the roof, he saw her. He should have just turned around and walked in, but he didn't. When he saw it, Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. I don't look upon a virgin.
Amen.
So he doesn't say, I'm living in a world where I don't see, I'm just looking up to heaven. Don't do that. You're going to bump your car if you want to try and drive like that. Amen. Boundaries is where I start and other people stop. So it's important to have boundaries. Certain things, I think it's important to teach your children to receive a no and to be able to give a no. Mm-hmm. Teach them that. Teach them that from a young age. When to say no and when to receive a no. That a no is not rejection. Amen? It's just somebody with a boundary.
So if your husband's having a bad day, it's not a bad idea just to tap on his boundary. What does that mean?
Say, I've got your back. See you a bit angry. See you a bit worked up. Don't work him up more. You know, everybody's got a red button. Turn to the person next to you and say, stay away from the red button.
Stay away from the red button.
Do you know my wife knows how to get me angry in 3 seconds?
And he knows how to get me angry too in 3 seconds. Two seconds.
So don't come and say, oh, I see you've got the red button problem again today. No, don't do that. So I see you need a bit of time. See, it's a bit rough. What can I do to help? Can I wash the dishes? Can I make some food? What can I do just to make it easy for you? But at the end of the day, the red button issue is still her issue that she has to deal with, and my red buttons I have to deal with. Amen? By the grace of God, we've dealt with our red buttons after 30 years. Amen. But they somehow still pop out every now and then. Don't think. I just want to say, you know, even the devil, when he tempted Jesus. Devil tempted Jesus. What does that teach us? It teaches us, doesn't matter how close you are to God, you can still be tempted. Mm-hmm. But even the devil that tempted Jesus, the Bible says he left him for a more opportune time. So I want to tell you, you could have boundaries in place and it can be right and you can be getting it right. And then suddenly just have an off day. And you need somebody just to help you and to be with you so you can get through it.
Amen. I think the greatest thing that we can take home today is within our boundaries, within our hula hoops, we have a friend in the Holy Spirit who disposes of giants. Amen. And he will lead and guide us. Love your husband, love your children with the help of the Holy Spirit. Parent your kids with the Holy Spirit. Many times I've gone on my knees and say, God, I don't know what to do with this kid. I wish you gave me a manual. I wish you told me what to do at 4 years and 3 months. I wish you told me what to do at 16 years. I wish you told me what to do. But you know what? The Lord's just put in my heart. He's given me the Holy Spirit. And us as parents, when we parent our kids, let's parent them in the Holy Spirit. When we work with each other, let's work with each other in the Holy Spirit. So even with relationships on the outside, you can apply all of this. Work with your colleagues with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Work with your friends with the help of the Holy Spirit. I think that's something really, really important to take home today, because without him, it's actually so difficult, because he can convict me. He will tell me, you know what, go make right. He will tell me that wasn't so nice. He will tell me, okay, maybe you should say it differently next time. And he also wants to protect the unity and the love between the two of us.
Let's start to land with this. I think boundaries, number one, have boundaries when it comes to your thoughts, mm-hmm. what you are thinking about, what you are saying and what you are doing. We spoke about it last week. Boundaries of who you allow into your life. Come here. Come in close here. Sometimes certain relationships that you allow is just awkward, amen? Be careful who you allow in here, amen? Okay, let's get out of this. When you married, a guy friend cannot be closer to you than what your wife is. Mm-hmm. Cannot be, amen? This has to be the closest, amen? I want to close. I started with Proverbs 24.
Can we let the hula hoops go?
Yeah, let the hula hoops go. Thank you. Well
Thank
done.
You
Give
so
the Lord
much.
A hand for the hula hoop holders. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me close with this. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Wise people are builders. They build families, businesses, and communities. And through intelligence and insight, their enterprises are established and endure. Verse 4. Because of their skilled leadership, the hearts of people are filled with treasures of wisdom and the pleasures of spiritual wealth. So when you are a leader and you understand boundaries, you'll be careful what you say because you'll be building people up. Amen. When you have boundaries, you know, I cannot say these kind of things because if I say this, it's going to hurt somebody. It's going to break them down. I'm here to build up people. Remember that first scripture, we're filling the rooms with precious and beautiful things.
And when we work with our spouse, have an attitude that I'm here to build you up. I'm here to lift you up. I'm here not to find something wrong. I'm not here to criticize. I'm here to love you through the eyes of Jesus. Amen? From both sides. That's what makes it so easy to connect with our hearts.
When you connect in a relationship, if you want a spouse or, a BFF, don't come into the relationship with the expectation, this person must fill me. Come into the relationship, I'm here to fill the person. I'm here to be a blessing to them. Amen. When you even come to church, household of Christ, we have many boundaries in place. But one thing that you know is when you come here, you're going to experience God's presence. Did you experience God's presence during the worship? Were you aware of God's presence while we are preaching? That's why with confidence we can say, let people come and experience that. Because once they experience that and they start placing boundaries in their own lives to put God first, things in their own lives will start to change.
Amen. The beautiful part of coming to church is every time we come to church as a couple, in a relationship, we get confronted with the presence of Jesus. And the presence of Jesus confronts our hearts. Amen. So when we come to church and maybe there's something not okay between the two of us, the presence of Jesus will confront my heart. And if I allow the Holy Spirit to confront my heart and not be the callous heart, the wandering or the shallow heart my husband spoke about last week, that presence will soften my heart that I can actually walk out here with more of Jesus in me so that I can give him more, that he can love me more, and I can, and he loves me back and I love him back. And the presence of Jesus keeps us soft.
Because of this principle that we live by in household of Christ, reaching up, touching the heart of God, reaching in, letting God touch my heart, and reaching out, touching the heart of a community. I cannot come onto this platform if I want to touch the heart of God and things are not right this way. God will tell me, go make right with your wife. That's the way that we live. You can clap a little bit harder. It's hard work, I can tell you now.
It is hard work.
When you manage your heart, it's much easier to manage boundaries. It's much easier to start to manage your whole life. Amen.
Yes, and when you manage your heart, you're actually managing your boundaries.
That's
and
right.
That means that you have to put a boundary within your heart to guard your heart above all. Amen? To make God's word the standard for your life.
Listen to this boundary. Your heart, God doesn't even come into your heart unless you open the door. Revelation 3 verse 20 says, I stand at the door, I'm knocking. It's not written to unbelievers, it's written to Christians. He says, you open that door. And allow me to come in, and I'm going to feast with you. Amen? That's what it's all about. When we allow God into our lives, and we give him the rightful place in our lives, that's when things start to just fall into place. Most of our challenges in life is because we don't give God the rightful place in our hearts.
Amen. The most important thing, like my husband was saying, is to know Jesus Christ. If you Amen. Have Jesus Christ, you have no reason that your marriage cannot work. Because Jesus died even for your marriage.
Give Jesus the rightful place. If I can leave this one thought with you. Don't come or enter into a relationship for that person to fulfill you. But come to that person from a place where Christ has filled you. And you can be a blessing in that relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying? Most of us think if I can just have a BFF, my life will be better. If I can just have a wife, my life will be better. You want that person to fill you, but it's your responsibility to say, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me and fill my heart with your love. Fill me with your goodness. Fill me with your patience. Fill me with your kindness.
Amen. Marriage is absolutely a mirror. You see the very best of yourself and you also see the very worst of yourself. Jesus created marriage to actually get us to a place where we can die and to be the bride that he needs us to be, because we need to die to ourselves to make a marriage work. It's not just about me.
So we move to each other from a position of fullness, not for fullness. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are already full with God's love, with God's kindness. There's so much Jesus in you that is just running over to the people around you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.